Yes, for many of us, it's a way to block out the outside world and escape in a thousand ways as we're making the commute home, going for a run, or just taking calls. But how much damage could we be doing every time we put those headphones on or jam them into our ears? Professor David McAlpine is the Director of Research at the Australian Hearing Hub. Welcome.
Hi, Rebecca. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. There are so many different earbuds, earphones, noise cancelling, over-ear, in-ear, wireless, you name it, headphones available now, David. Just how big is the global headphones market?
Well, this is the... I couldn't put a number to what the money is associated with headphones, but you can certainly look on the street or on the train or in any commute or in anywhere, and you will see that the majority of people have got them around their neck or mostly in their ears, and they're drowning out whatever is going on in the background with loud sounds. And that's the main issue we're trying to address here at Macquarie, understanding what people are actually doing to themselves by engaging with this technology, although it's a lot of fun. And it's, as you say, good for running and other things. What's the actual damage that might be occurring?
Yeah, so with wearing them all day, every day, what is the constant exposure to noise doing to us?
Well, it's not new. We know that noise, and that term actually means loud sound, so it's not just something that annoys you, it's actually any loud sound. We know that that damages your hearing and that there are limits that you shouldn't go above, and in the workplace have been workplace regulations for many years. What we're really doing and seeing now is people are bringing their sound with them, and they're all day, every day, wearing headphones cranked up to the sort of level of sounds that would be illegal at a workplace. And that's the main issue. We know that the problems that noise damage actually does, and we know that it's accumulative and irreversible, and yet we're subjecting ourselves to it rather than actually regulating it in any way.
Could you put it into a bit of context for us? When we do crank up the headphone level, what is a comparative type of noise level?
Well, the noise at work regulations let you have 85 decibels for 8 hours a day, and that is a regulation that it does change state by state, but it's roughly a universal perspective, at least in developed countries. The problem is that every time you go up 3 decibels, which doesn't sound like it's a lot, you have to halve the amount of time you listen. So if you're cranking it up to from 85 to 100 decibels, you're going from 8 hours safe listening to 15 minutes. And most people are not listening at 85 decibels. They're listening somewhere between 90 and 100 decibels when they're on the train and they're trying to get background noise away or something like that. So they're really listening for hours to something that at work they should only be listening for minutes to an hour.
Well, David is happy to take any calls you might have about hearing and headphone use. Maybe you work on a construction site or, like me, in radio. Give us a call, 1300 222 702, or you can text us on 0467 922 702. And David, as we mentioned, there are so many different products on the market. Do you need expensive headphones in order to protect your hearing?
So there's nothing about the expense of a headphone that tells you how good it is in terms of the quality of the sound or in protection. And so we should put that aside. There are devices out there that suggest that they're suited to your ears, and they go through some rigmarole about telling you how to assess that and to wear a setting. But that is not the issue. It's not the quality of the sound, although that can be a factor. It's the intensity of the sound, how loud the sound is. One of the things we recommend, aside from reducing your listening, is wear noise-cancelling headphones. Most of the time, people are trying to get rid of that commute noise or something distracting. If you have noise-cancelling headphones, you can keep the sound level lower, and you don't have to, hear above that background. And they're really good for, planes. People have been using them a long time on airplanes, and they really make a difference because you're not trying to crank the sound over a pair of poor-quality headphones above the background of the engine noise. But just on the street, you should be looking at something that's actually protecting your hearing while still making it possible to hear the bus, because, getting hit by the bus is a bad thing too.
Well, we've got quite a few calls coming in, actually, David, and Bart from Annandale. Hi, Bart.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
Look,
what's your question?
I have a set of headphones that seem to be stuck on very, very high, but I only listen to you guys. So are voices as damaging as music?
Oh, that's a good question, David.
It depends what the intensity is and how many voices. So if you go to any party, even if it hasn't got music on, if there are 100 people in a crowded space, the intensity of sound there is already
huge. No, but it's only you.
Well, it's cranking it up, I think, that's the problem. So it's not whether it's music, it's not whether you like the music, rock music, classic music, or voices.
So it's not the sort of massive sound. Even a voice can kind of crack.
Absolutely.
All right, yeah. Okay.
But remembering, of course, that in a natural speaking situation, if there's a crowded room, people elevate their voices until a certain level, and then they stop doing that.
Yep.
But when you've got control over their voice with a volume knob or a push button, you really are cranking up to whatever is in the rest of the background or how you've adapted to the loudness over the last hour or so. So you really don't know what that is. And it's the intensity of sound and how close that is to your ear, and therefore that's going to be independent of whether it's speech or music.
Thank you so much for your question, Bart. Thank you. And Pam from Sydney. Hi, Pam. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. Good afternoon. My question is, I'm a primary school teacher and I teach children who are five, six or seven, and we use devices in the classroom where they often have headphones on, and they're headphones, they're not earbuds.
Mm.
However, what can I do to make sure, like what level should they be listening at?
Pam, that's a really good point, actually. I don't think I've heard that been put that way before, but actually we know that we should be putting limiters on devices, and that is actually something that comes with some devices, that they do limit the sound. We also know that kids, as their brains are developing, have harder times listening in noise than adults do, and that the brain develops in a way that helps them do that over time. So what they're actually hearing, listening to, as opposed to the sound level, may be very different. They may not be able to hear things so well or respond to things so well. So when they've got devices, portable sets or iPads or something, it's really important to know what the sound levels are and that they don't have control of it such that they could crank it up to dangerous levels. And I think we have to take that issue seriously. Classrooms are a really good example, actually, that we've got all sorts of regulations for classrooms for visual things. We make the rooms look nice, but we don't really think about the hearing.
Yes, and it can often be a noisy environment because some children might be working independently and the rest of the class is making noise, so they need to be able to hear. It might be something to do with phonics or spelling, where they actually do need to be able to hear it clearly. But I am concerned about, I can't limit it on the devices that they have. It's a really tricky
thing. It is a tricky situation, isn't it, Pam? But a very interesting question. So thank you so much for your call.
No worries.
Thank you. I'm speaking with Professor David McAlpine, and he's taking your calls on safe headphone use. Maybe you're wondering about those playlists that you're listening to as you're going for a run. Are they up too loud? And David, we have a text from Nick in Epping, and he wants to know, what about bone conduction headphones?
Bone conduction headphones.
I've not heard of those before.
So bone conduction headphones are a way of actually transmitting sound through the bones of the head, and in some cases people have hearing loss are actually using bone conduction, so people with conductive hearing loss.
Right.
The key thing for sound is that your ear, the natural route of sound to your ear, to your inner ear, so outside the ear down to the middle of the ear, is essentially the one that amplifies sound. So sounds that go through that route, the normal route, are actually being amplified by all the processes of your outer ear, your middle ear, your ear bones. And that's the one that really can do the damage. Bone conduction depends if you have a hearing loss, and you may be using bone conduction devices to hear, can get sound to your ear without it going through the middle ear, for example, which is where the problem would be. But really, we're thinking about the headphones that are put around your ear where normal acoustic rather than bone conduction, normal acoustic hearing occurs, and that's the one that on top of the device itself, your ear is already boosting sound energy to get to your inner ear. So they're the ones we really have to watch. Bone conduction, much less of a problem.
Mm. And what's your opinion, David, on those standard earbuds that come with our phones? I mean, that's what I use, as I don't drive, so I'm always walking or on public transport. Are they worse for our hearing?
I think the problem with those earbuds is that they can be tinny, they can depend. The sound quality has got better over the years, of course. But basically, they're sitting right down snug inside your ear with all the sound pressure going down into your ear. That is one issue we think is problematic. We often consider that around the ear headphones might be better for not just blasting that sound into your ear. I mean, I also don't drive, and I do walk around and run, but I never wear earbuds. I absolutely never wear earbuds because I think they're the killer device. They're easy. They're not heavy if you're running. You put them in there, and suddenly you've forgotten they're there, and no one else is thinking they're there,
yeah.
And you're just walking around, and you've got the volume cranked up.
Mm.
So I think they're actually problematic because they're not intrusive, and therefore you're more likely to just keep them in there.
Mm. We have a few more texts that have come through, and Catherine wants to know, could you ask David about possible damage to very young children using headphones? I've seen children as young as 2 years using headphones.
So that's a really good point, and the whole issue of noise exposure, it's a bit like, you know, sun exposure. It gets you later in life, but you accumulate the damage early. And so the earlier you start accumulating damage to your hearing, the more you're going to have problems earlier in life. And we take the safe and sun perspective of covering up or wearing a rashy. I mean, back in the day, we all went to the beach, covered ourselves in oil and sat in the sun and burned.
Mm.
Now all kids are wearing protection. And I think we have to take that view with kids' hearing. We can't just put a headset of headphones on them and give them a device and say, off you go, because we don't know what their sound levels are listening to. But we can tell you that it doesn't matter if you're a child or an adult, your exposure to sound, to noise, high levels of noise, will actually accumulate and damage you. And if you're doing it early, you'll get that damage evident earlier, more hearing loss more early.
Mm. And I read where you suggest, David, that we approach noise like we would junk food or alcohol and that we should go on a noise diet. Could you expand further on that for us?
Yeah, it's a noise diet sounds a bit trite, but actually we are starting to take care of these other aspects of our life. Now, we've had an obesity crisis in many developed countries for the last number of years, and we're really starting to have to approach that and tackle it head on. The same with our hearing. If you are, we're not saying, stay at home, have a cup of Milo, go to bed early. We're just saying when you're going to a gig or when you're going to a concert or somewhere where it's going to be noisy, first bring some protection for a reasonable amount of money, certainly less than the price of a couple of gig tickets. You can get custom-fitted devices that actually don't reduce the sound quality but reduce the sound level. And that's, if you're a gig-goer, that's a useful investment. That's a long-term investment.
Mm.
But on a day-to-day level, just don't crank things up. There are other ways of reducing the noise, noise-cancelling headphones being one, so you don't have to crank up the sound to hear it. You've blocked everyone else out. But just take a view of what you're actually going to do in a day and how much exposure you've got and try and limit yourself.
Mm.
So there aren't any hard and fast rules, but except for the fact that we know that overexposure causes damage. So try and limit it.
And when we are wearing headphones, is there a way that we can determine how loud it is in my ears? That's what Peter from Canberra wants to know.
That's a big scientific question, because loudness is relative. The intensity of a sound is an absolute measure of the intensity of a sound, or you can give a value to it. Loudness is something that we perceive, and a dog barking at night is loud and wakes you up, but during the day you wouldn't have heard it.
Mm.
There's a whole perceptual thing that's built into the rest of your life about how loud a sound is. So when we're wearing earbuds, we don't necessarily know how intense that sound is. When we are on the street and it's busy and we can't hear what's on the earbuds, we say, well, it's not very loud. Well, we turn it up. Well, then it's actually super intense, but we just can't hear it. And we've judged our loudness rather than our intensity of the sound there, and that's the problem.
And some smartphones, they say they have these safe volume levels where they indicate that you have maybe listening to something too loudly. Are they actually accurate?
They depend upon all of the devices you're actually wearing, how well they're fitted into your ears, if you're over your ear or in the ear, if they're good. So I think that's, it's just a bit of a cop-out, really.
Mm.
And they're hackable as well. Anything that has a limit is hackable in these sorts of devices.
Very true, yeah.
So I don't really think we can take the technology company's word for it that we're actually safe. And even if we weren't safe, there's no one doing anything about it.
Mm. Well, Clint from Tamworth has a question for you. Hi, Clint.
Yeah, g'day, guys. Love the conversation.
Thank you.
No worries. Just a quick question. You're talking a lot about the damage, especially from a young age. How about ears? Do they have the capacity to self-heal themselves after some of this damage is made?
Clint, that's a good question and something a lot of research around the world is looking at. No, it doesn't really repair itself. That's the bottom line. In humans and in mammals in general, actually, our inner ears are sort of a single performance. And once you start damaging that inner ear mechanism that lets you hear, you don't get it back. And birds, strangely, do, and they have to sing for their supper, and they've evolved that robust hearing. They can regenerate their inner ear. But mammals in general and humans certainly cannot do that. So giving yourself that dose of noise that gives you, you know, a bit of tinnitus, but then you felt away with it, recovered. But actually, you've started yourself on trajectory of hearing problems that way.
Thanks so much for your call, Clint.
Thank you.
Cheers. And David, finally, you know, if you have any advice for parents who are concerned about their child's exposure to noise, what can they do?
I think what they need to know is what the safe limits are. So, you know, most people don't know what the safe limits are and how they would measure them. And I think there are tools around to help you do that. I think wearing headphones for kids, limiting the headphone use is probably one issue. And also making sure that there's some limiter on the device, even if it's not perfect. You know, the fact is, putting headphones on and an iPad is a way of actually saying, especially this time of year when the kids have been home for like weeks, you know, have some time out and I need some. But actually, it's a better thing to at least let there be a little bit of noise coming from the device when it's open rather than having a closed loop with the headphones on. And I think we have to take a view on that, that if you're going to wear headphones and you're going to put headphones in kids, then essentially they're in an unsupervised environment. Mm. And would you put your kids in an unsupervised environment in many other places? I doubt it.
That's a really good point, a really good point indeed. Well, thank you so much for your tips and advice, David. That's been really useful. Thank you.
Thanks, Rebecca.
That's Professor David McAlpine, the Director of Hearing Research at Macquarie University's Australian Hearing Hub.